from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's September 4th, 2024, and we are one day away from the NFL season kicking off. We've got a great show planned for you today, including former Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, who gets us ready for the NFL season at 3, and one of our favorite football guests, our guy, Booger McFarland of ESPN, who stops by the show at 5. So much to get into. Thanks for making this program part of your afternoon. Daniel, how are you?
I'm very well, my friend. Last night, huge thank you, first of all, to all the folks that posted at Highline. Thanks to Highline RXR in Crystal City last night. Just so much fun. One of those really cool nights where you're just reminded how neat this whole thing is, how unique this whole gig is, right? Where these folks that are take time out of their days to listen to us, consume our content, and don't hate our guts, would want to post and hang out with us and draft a fantasy football team. It was awesome, man. Just a really, really cool evening. So huge thank you to everybody that came. Thanks again to Highline and everybody that made that possible. Really cool.
14-team Grant and Danny Listener League that we drafted last night. I posted a couple of pictures on Instagram. You want to go check them out at Grant H. Paulson, because a listener named John came, who is a photographer, brought his camera and hung out with us and did skits and bits all night. So that was really, really cool of him. But yeah, the venue itself, Highline R&R, was awesome. So thanks to them and our buddy Christian, who works with the station here on the sales staff, set it all up. How hospitable were they, though, to hook us with food?
Just the greatest.
Nice little buffet-style opportunity to eat whatever we wanted all night long, and the food was delicious. And then the dozen listeners that are in the league, including the defending champion, John, who was toting the trophy around. Good luck to all of them. I believe only one failing score on drafts from Yahoo. Chris in Hyattsville, Yahoo gave him an F-, which I didn't even know was possible.
I've never seen that.
He told us at one point he was doing two drafts at once, and he drafted like it. I think there were times where he thought we were like 5 rounds later than we were. He's like, oh, it's the second round? Are there any backup tight ends available?
He's like, I need a second tight end. I was like, yeah, you do.
But we'll see. I mean, bold strategy, Cotton. Maybe he knows something that we don't. But overall, just a really, really fun time. And props to Darius for setting the whole thing up. He got us the old school boards and the stickers to kick it like it was 1995 with the fantasy draft. So really, really a cool event.
How incredible is that trophy, by the way? That trophy is phenomenal.
Shout out to Dan Snyder's Yacht Tracker.
The Yacht Tracker.
The Yacht Tracker. Lil Yachty actually got that trophy.
He tracks yachts. That's one thing he does. The second thing he does is provides enormous and excellent fantasy football trophies.
We should probably have given him money for doing that. Just one day he's like, hey, I made a trophy for the league. We're like,
okay.
That was really nice.
Yeah, nice art project, buddy. Then we saw it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing is incredible.
And I was like, he must have won the league. Let me look it up. No, he didn't even win the league.
Nope.
He just put someone else's name on the trophy. So that was very, very nice of him and very cool. But yeah, awesome night. Nats were on TV getting a win all over the bar. And we were yelling at each other's picks. You and I shared a team.
Yes.
First time you and I have ever shared a team. We really leaned into the no running back strategy.
It didn't start that way, but it ended up that way, didn't it?
We never had a plan.
Yeah.
We didn't meet or anything. So I don't know if we can't say it wasn't our plan when we didn't have a plan. But yeah, there were no running backs for us until like round 7. And somehow there was a team, Kristen's team, actually drafted a running back after we did. She was also doing the no running back,
which is incredible. So I mean, we had pick three, and you know, okay, went up with Tyreek Hill. Great, no problem. That's awesome.
Everybody's happy with
that. Well, with a 14 team draft, you're sitting there going, all right, let me look at my watch. 20 some odd picks later, before it gets back to us, if you've ever received a handoff in the NFL, you were selected.
Right.
And we go, here we go. Zero running backs. Let's dance. Let's see what happens.
I was stunned by the volume of RBs that came off the board early in the G&D Listener League. But to the entire crew that came out and the listeners even that stopped by and said hello that were not in the league, we thank you very much.
Very
it means
cool.
a lot. It is awesome to spend the evening with you guys every now and then. Let's get to the Commanders news of the day. Sam Cosmi got a 4-year extension from Washington's front office. The former second-round pick out of Texas. The 4-year extension gets tacked on to the final year of his rookie deal, entering the fourth year of, as a second-rounder, year four of four. So that means five more seasons through 2028 for Cosmi, who has kicked inside from tackle to guard and really found a home. Danny, last year he was the sixth highest-graded guard, according to PFF in football. He had the number 7 grade in the run game, according to Pro Football Focus. And he played the 12th most snaps in the entire NFL at the guard position because for the first time he proved really durable, played in all 17 games, played at a high level, and at 25 going into his prime, he got paid.
Love that. This is one of those things where, I mean, you look back, and I will still say on the whole, on the balance sheet, the Marty Party and Ron Rivera were terrible at player acquisition, evaluation, contracts, drafting, etc. This is one of their wins. Now, they drafted him as a tackle, so it's downgraded slightly, but still, you identify a core player whose era was on the rise, as you rightly said, and he's in his mid-20s. He's playing better than he did 2 years ago at this point. He's playing better than he was a year ago at this point. This is now a really, really good asset that you have. You keep guys like that around, even if it wasn't your guy. You quickly figure out this is a guy that you want to build around. So good for them, right call. We were sort of wondering, not in a critical way, but kind of wondering, hey, is this coming? This seems pretty reasonable. It seems like you'd want to do that. And before week one, you kind of get that business attended to and get it done and lock him up. Really good player, and I'm happy for the dude.
Yeah, I mean, from a playing standpoint and on the field, he's their best offensive lineman, and I don't know that it's particularly close at this point. And you can make the case he's one of the best players on the team. You know, for a few years, that's been John Allen, Daron Payne, and there's a conversation thereafter. I think Sam Cosmi's really closed the gap in that area. And with Terry McLaurin, those are the core guys in the offensive huddle at this point. But as you said, personally, just for the person that we've had on the show and I've talked to out there a few times, really, really entertaining interview and just an honest guy and very candid. He's 25. He's going into his prime. He's married now. He's kind of growing up in front of our eyes in D.C. He's got a baby girl. So his wife, Blair, and the 9-month-old baby, I believe, Clara. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
You're setting up shop. You are digging in the DMV, and you're now a Texas guy who's going to call this place home at least half of the year for the next several years. So I like that, and this is what you want to do. We've seen a lot of teams this offseason prioritize signing their own guys, both the good teams that have done this for a long time and then some bad teams that are trying to get good, like the New England Patriots, who have extended, I don't know, 7 or 8 of their own players. Washington over the years has not done a good enough job at this, mostly because they haven't drafted enough guys that they want to keep around. They haven't hit in the draft frequently enough. So I think now you can say, well, that's a win for Ron Rivera and his staff. They drafted him as a tackle. He ended up at guard. So there's an asterisk there because they thought he would be their long-term right tackle. But I don't think we need to get cute and look for style points, especially with the Rivera era that went.
You got a good player and a good dude.
Exactly.
You do it.
I say this about Brandon Scherff all the time. Like, people talk about him because remember, at number 5, I think that was McLuhan's first pick in his first draft. He was taken as a tackle out of Iowa. And about an hour into his first practice at training camp ever, he was moved to guard because Morgan Moses showed up after having a whale of an offseason going into his second year with the organization. And they realized our best line right now is Moses at right tackle and Scherff as a plus guard. And so they just made the move. And a lot of people have suggested since then that that was not a slam dunk pick or the value wasn't good at number 5. And I don't really play that game. I'm in the business of getting good football players, period. And so with Sam Cosmi, I don't care if you drafted him as a tackle or a guard. You've got a Pro Bowler. Hasn't made that yet, but he will. And maybe eventually an All-Pro, which they don't have around here. I'm not going to ask any questions.
Right. Yeah, it's the road wasn't you know, paved and straight. We had a few twists and turns there. But you're right. We got to the point where there's a good player, a good core guy that's going to be here. So I'm a fan. I mean, he's in that company with guys like Quentin Nelson, you know, Landon Dickerson in Philadelphia. There's a whole bunch of guys in that 25, 26 age range who are making a pretty good chunk of change as, you know, kind of linchpin guards there on rosters that are either improving or are already pretty good. And it gets to the point where eventually you don't love the idea of, like, I'd rather pay a tackle overpaying a guard. I'd rather pay a wide receiver overpaying a guard, you know, a cornerback, a quarterback, a few different positions. But you're not in a spot where you can just start letting guys go and having their talent, a talented replacement, you know, waiting in the wings. So at this stage, it makes a lot of sense to me to retain him because, again, he's done everything that's ever been asked of him. He's performed well, and the arrow is still trending up. But a guy that, you know, was at one point learning a position, now he's learned it. Now he's one of the better players in the league at that spot.
$74 million.
$74 million over 4 years, 18 and a half per for Sam Cosmi as one of the best young guards in football. So let's make this quick list then, Danny. How many players right now on the Commanders would you say are better than Sam Cosmi? I think it's a very, very short list. But if you're just ranking their roster 1 to 53, how high up could Cosmi show up? So start the list.
So you're not going to like the answer. He's my number one. I think he's their best player. I think he's better at his position than anybody else is at theirs.
I think if you're forecasting out with potential and growth opportunities, I could see that. Based on back of the football card, I would still say John Allen, who's made Pro Bowls, Daron Payne, Terry McLaurin, just because they've actually played in Pro Bowl games,
right, and
kind of gotten that acclaim. But if you looked at it a different way, which I think is really intuitive, where does each guy rank at their own position right now in the NFL? At some point, John Allen was fringe top five at D-tackle. I don't think he is right now. Daron Payne, coming off of his 11-plus sacks, was in that conversation. Fell off with some of the counting stats as a pass rusher last year. Probably would slide down the board a little bit, right? I would say the same thing about McLaurin, who last year, yards per catch, some of the explosivity metrics dropped off some. Still very good, but in that 15 to 20 range at wide receiver maybe in the NFL. And there are great players at that position. It's probably more competitive than the spot that Cosmi plays. But in a position where there are 64 starters, because there's two guards on every team, Sam Cosmi is a top 10 guard in football.
Probably. And that's kind of my point. So for the toughest debate to me, is not, again, I love Terry McLaurin, but you start going down the list of Jefferson, Adams, Lamb, St. Brown, Ayuk, DJ Moore, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. You got to go a while before you get to Terry McLaurin. Again, really good player. Glad he's here. He's my dude. But there are a whole bunch of folks that would go ahead of him if people were being objective, you know, sort of looking around league-wide. The tougher sell is the one you mentioned, is defensive tackle. And at points, you've seen both of those guys, talking Allen and Payne, be in that top 10 type range. I mean, Daron Payne had a top 10 season a couple years ago that got him paid. John Allen did that before. But right now, this minute coming into the year, I don't know that either one of those guys is top 10. Again, not a bad player by any stretch, and they're as good a tandem as you're going to find, but maybe they're both sort of in the teens. And my point is, this may be a little bit bullish, but I put Cosmi in that top 10 guard group. I mean, it's hard. I'm not breaking down offensive line play from, you know, the interior offensive line play from every single squad at this stage, but that's kind of my sense of it at this point. So that's how I come to that conclusion.
Dan Quinn just had his daily press conference out in Ashburn as the Commanders are getting ready for the Bucs today at their team facility. This is what DQ had to say about the new extension for his guard, Sam Cosmi.
That's it's a cool day for him, for his wife, Blair, his daughter, Claire, who are here, and so for Adam and his staff to get that done prior to the season. That's a big deal. And this guy's a Commander, you know, through and through. He's tough. He plays square. He's strong. And we're really, you know, are fortunate that he'll be an anchor inside, you know, for years to come. It's a big deal.
This is something you and I talked a lot about all offseason that needed to get done. I hadn't given up on it. I just kind of moved on and forgotten about it, honestly, because about a week ago, I turned the page into regular season mode. But them getting this out of the way was a no-brainer. And there's just no reason not to do this. I remember back in 1999 when Champ Bailey was drafted out of Georgia. And at that time, there was this culture going into year one of the old owner in 2000 when they spent $100 million, where they took care of other people's guys but not their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so 4 years later, when it was time for Champ to get paid, he had watched Deion Sanders and Mark Carrier and one guy after another come in here in the secondary to get their money, and he had become one of the best players in the league at his position on his way to what would eventually be Hall of Fame career. And he went to the team and he said, let's go. It's time to pay me. And they dragged their feet. And it became so difficult. The relationship became so bad between he and the club that they ended up trading him for Clinton Portis with a draft pick, obviously. And I bring that up just to say, you want to be the organization where everybody knows if you deliver on the promise, if you deliver the goods after being taken, you will be rewarded. That's what the healthy organizations do. It's whatever, and I don't just mean in football, right? But I bring you in. Mm-hmm. I give you these goals. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. You go out and get it done. You get your raise. You get to grow. That's what everybody's looking for in life in some ways.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's next? How do I become the best version of myself? And to reward Sam Cosmi was a no-brainer, but the fact that they did it just tells you that they had their priorities in order.
And they get it. Yeah, I think it's well said. Now, you can't, as Ryan Zimmerman famously told us, you can't pay everybody. So there are going to be some times where, you know, a good player has, you have to let him walk at the expense of maybe somebody else. But when you're in this position, right, when you're in the building phase, what better building block than, as you said, the guy that's, we said, hey, please turn in A work. And here's my A homework. I did it. I turned in the A work. Then you reward that guy. That makes sense.
They had two things going for them. One, they have a shortage of really good football players.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of them, so you pay him. Two, they have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they have very little on the books moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So this was easy. There was just no reason not to do it. Next on Grant and Danny, let's dive in on the Commanders roster 4 days out from the opener. We want a player that you think is being slept on and a player that's being overhyped. Who's going to have a better season than people are expecting? Who's going to have a worse season than DC is so far predicting for players on the Commanders? We'll get into that next. We've got Rick Spielman, the former GM, at 3 o'clock. Booger McFarland today at 5. It's a football week on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Tomorrow night, the NFL season kicks off. We cannot wait here at Grant and Danny. You are locked in to the Fan. Chiefs hosting the Ravens tomorrow. Kansas City aiming to become the first team to three-peat. Only three teams ever have been to three consecutive Super Bowls. The Patriots this past decade, the Bills back in the 90s, and the Dolphins in the 70s. That's the list of teams who have gotten to three straight Super Bowls. Nobody has ever won three consecutive. Chiefs will try to do that this year. This is also, Danny, the first time in week one that we'll have a game that features two former two-time MVPs playing against each other, with Patrick Mahomes leading Kansas City and Lamar Jackson under center for the Baltimore Ravens. And in fact, that's just a week one stat that we've never had the two multi-time MVPs going head-to-head. Never before in any week in the history of the league have two multi-time MVPs that are under 30 years old played against each other in a game until this one. So for them to have gotten already the two MVP nods and to have become as good as they are at their ages is unprecedented.
Pretty special.
Now, to take each other on. This is obviously a rematch of the AFC title game last year. Most notably from that game that I remember, there were some crazy plays that led to Kansas City taking control of the game. Zay Flowers diving at the end zone, ball coming out on a fumble right as he was trying to cross the goal line. But Travis Kelce went ham sandwich in that game. 11 catches, 116 yards and a touchdown, moved ahead of Jerry Rice on the all-time playoffs catch list in that contest. So now we're going to run it back with the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yeah, this is a great matchup. People have forgotten how dominant Baltimore was until that game, right? They didn't play well. Jackson didn't play well. I thought Todd Monken, I don't know what they were trying to prove. That was bad. And still, as you mentioned, there was Zay Flowers fumble away from being tied deep in that game. But remember, in December, they beat Miami by 40 points, 56-19. They went on the road to San Francisco on I think it was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and beat them by multiple touchdowns. That wasn't even that close. That Baltimore team was awesome last year. Now, it's been a net negative of an offseason, including their defensive coordinator, several members of personnel. I think they've taken a step back in that regard, but they're still pretty damn formidable. And if you're going to get Kansas City, I think now's the time to play them, that September-October window, as they're kind of going through the motions of the regular season to get ready for postseason time, sort of a la one of those like Boston Celtics big three kind of teams. Because, listen, you already mentioned the pedigree's there, but this is a great, great, great early season matchup, and it's as good a game as you could probably ask for to start us off.
We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you right now for the first time today to call in and join us at 800-636-1067. On the table for you is a conversation on Commanders that are over and under hyped going into the year. So let's both give a couple of names for each category. Let's start with guys that are being slept on. They're going to have bigger years than is currently anticipated. Who do you got?
Dorrance Armstrong. People have forgotten. This was a part-time Peter that put together over the last 2 years as many sacks as Chase Young did his entire time here, and then some. This is a guy that hadn't played 50% of snaps all but 1 year. Again, as a part-time third down kind of pass rushing dude. He's now a starter here. He's going to get pass rushing reps. This is a good pass rusher. And people, no one's talking about him. No one's mentioned him. It's just sort of, yeah, he's a guy. He's fine. I think this is an opportunity for him to kind of step up. Not exactly like Hassan Reddick did as a hired gun that went to Philadelphia and had 16 sacks. I'm not predicting that. But people are going to say Dorrance Armstrong a little bit more as the season progresses.
So I think that's a great answer because he's been in the league for 6 years. He's never had more than 8.5 sacks. And in fact, until the last couple of years, he had never had more than 5 sacks. But to your point, a lot of that has to do with usage.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're not rushing the quarterback and getting snaps and getting reps on the field, how are you going to put up decent numbers, right? 8.5 and 7.5 sacks the last 2 seasons, and he's about to play more than he ever has before. 10's not out of the question. That would be a huge win. I'm hoping he's in the 8, 9, 10 range this year. It would be a big, big deal for this defense if that's the case. He's only 27 years old. These are the prime years at that position. Big guy, strong guy, 6'4", 255, played his college ball at Kansas. I'll go to the other side of the ball with my first answer here. The Commander that I think is not getting enough attention is Zach Ertz. Now, this is almost exclusively reliant upon health. And I don't think he's going to stay healthy because there's just not a good track record of that here recently. He has played one full season since 2018. And in fact, 2 years ago, he missed 7 games. Last year, he missed 10 games. So you're talking about half of the action over the last couple of years he was unavailable for. And you couple that with the fact that he's going to be 34 years old in November, and I understand the logic that says he's probably not going to make it through the entire year. They may not go out and draft Ben Sinnott as early as they did if they were confident that he could. But here's why I like Ertz as being unheralded right now and being an unsung hero early in the year. When he's on the field, he's going to get volume touches. Mm-hmm. Cliff Kingsbury likes throwing to the tight end, and I think Jaden Daniels, we saw the quick game in the preseason, is going to be told, get the ball out. Ball out as quick as possible often benefits the tight end, shorter routes, the running back leaking out of the backfield, and less longer developing things to the receivers on the outside.
Yeah, those safety blankets for quarterback, right?
I don't think it would be a surprise at all. Like, if you told me right now against the Bucs, Ertz goes 7 for 63 or something, not surprising to me. If he had 8 catches for 71 yards, that would make perfect sense. I think when he's playing and not banged up, Zach Ertz is going to be a huge part of their offense and is going to get a ton of looks. In fact, I think he might lead them in catches in September if he plays in every game and he stays healthy. I think he's going to be that involved in the early going. He, right now, is not getting enough ink.
So my answer is very similar, and you'll see why in a second. Ben Sinnott, because I don't trust Zach Ertz to do any of those things. On paper, yes, I co-sign it, but I don't think he stays healthy. I think he doesn't have much left in the tank. I think he's more veteran communicative presence. I think he's more, you know, almost like a coach on the field, good in the meeting room. I just don't know how much he's got left in terms of the burst, the juice, all of those things that you would need from your tight end to make some of those things happen. Hope I'm wrong, by the way, because it would be an amazing signing for next to nothing, for peanuts, for him to come over and be a great difference maker for Jaden Daniels. So I think the opportunity is going to be there for Ben Sinnott. It's hard to adjust. A lot of rookie tight ends, especially coming from where he came from. It's not like he was at Michigan or one of the Power 5 schools. But that adjustment is really hard. That tight end spot sometimes take a while. But I do think the opportunity is going to be there because I don't trust Ertz to stay terribly healthy.
Defensively, I've got to give you a guy now who I think is being slept on for the Commanders. And I'm going to go with Jeremy Chinn because I don't think anybody's talked about him in months. I mean, shows like this, we break the team down by every angle. He comes up from time to time, but you just don't hear a lot about him. This was a guy who scored a couple of touchdowns in a game in his rookie year, who had some huge games strung together, and in fact was the only rookie in the Chase Young season that really pushed him in any way for Defensive Rookie of the Year. As time went on and he kind of fell out of favor in Carolina for whatever reason, he just became a dude in the secondary. But I think that this group, led by Quinn and Joe Witt, who are excellent at getting the most out of defensive backs and thrive when it comes to scheming up the secondary, I think Jeremy Chinn, who's a bit of a Swiss Army knife, who can do a little bit of everything, will be used at safety, will be used down in the box, will play some center field. There's some time where he's going to be running around with tight ends and maybe even blitzing. I think they're going to get more out of him than people are expecting. I'd go with Frankie Louvu, who, you know, I have a man crush on, but I kind of think everyone talks about Louvu and knows that he's a dude at this point. So Chinn would be the guy for me who's undervalued. And that is the question for you guys at 800-636-1067. We'll get to the guys that are being over-talked about and maybe are expected to do more than you and I see them doing in just a moment. But let's go to Drew, who's on the Eastern Shore, listening on the Odyssey app on Grant and Danny. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. Hey, love the show, and can't wait to get down to Tampa this week. But I think that Payne and Allen, and you guys mentioned it earlier, they've had some subpar seasons, and I think a lot of that was based on Jack Del Rio, and I expect those guys to shine.
Oh, interesting.
With a better front seven all around and more creativity in what's going on. So I'm thinking those guys are both going to get hot, and it's going to be a hell of a year for both of them. On the unfortunate side, I think that I don't think Dyami Brown has ever demonstrated that he's really the kind of caliber wide receiver we need. And I'd love to see him do well, but I think that that's going to be a whiff, unfortunately.
Drew, before you go, you said you're flying out to Tampa?
Yeah, to Friday.
Good for you, man.
That's awesome.
Do you get to road games every year, or is this rare?
I try to. I think this year I'm hitting 5 of them, but one of them's Baltimore. So
that counts?
Baltimore, New York, and Philly.
I'll count that as a road game.
That's on the road.
You're in a road stadium. We were actually at the Orioles game on Labor Day. Me and the wife took the kids. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was perfect.
So perfect. It was one of those days I'm sitting there watching baseball where I grew up going with my parents and my kids are running around You're trying not to be annoyed as they're like picking things up off the ground. And I'm like, this is the good stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The weather was just immaculate. But I say that to tell you that we're driving back and we're driving by the Ravens Stadium there, the bank. And my wife's like, I should go to this game this year, right? Like, it's an opportunity to see my team in a stadium that isn't awful, you know, with an atmosphere that isn't bad. I should definitely go to that, right? I'm like, yeah, totally. Why wouldn't you?
It's great. It's the thing that I want when it comes to a stadium, right? Correctly placed walkways, friendly to pedestrians, friendly to parkers, friendly to public transport, whatever. Just welcoming.
Right off the highway.
They want you to be there.
Yeah.
And they make it very clear. There's no obstruction. There's no, you got to go that way or whatever. So easy. Food is way cheaper. You get in and out real quick. 10 out of 10 experience.
His answer, Payne and Allen, I've not thought about it that way.
But it makes sense to me, right? Like, if the thought is, we might be better, thinking about last year, with these two first-round defensive ends, they're the stars of our pass rush. You guys hold the point of attack. You guys do some of those things where you occupy an extra blocker, hold the point of attack, versus you're our two best pass rushers now. Even if you leave something free, get up that field. Engage in disruption. You've seen both of those guys at different times do that to a good degree. That's not a crazy idea.
History says that he's going to be right on Deami Brown as being overhyped. Because we've done this before. I was guilty of it a year ago. Where you go out to camp, you watch him, he shines, you watch in the preseason, he lights it up, and everyone says this is the year, and then it's not the year. Maybe this time's different, but I'm going to be in wait-and-see mode. I have basically, you know, I've a few times over now touched the pot and it's burned me, so I'm just going to stay away. But I think he could be onto something if history repeats itself. The question for you guys at 800-636-1067, which Commanders player is getting too little and too much hype? Who do you think over and underachieves based on expectations this season? We'll get to that next. Plus, what would have been the perfect way for the NFL to open the year, or is Ravens-Chiefs as good as we could have done? You're listening to Grant and Danny. Rick Spielman, former GM of the Vikings, on the program in 20 minutes on The Fan. G&D taking you up to Nats baseball in Miami tonight. The Nationals will look for a second straight win over the Marlins. Rick Spielman's on the show at 3. Booger McFarland at 5. We're taking you all the way through 6:10 this evening on The Fan. Right now we're talking Commanders players getting too much or too little love. We just gave you the guys that we think are being undervalued. I went with Zach Ertz on offense and Jeremy Chinn on defense. They'll have bigger years than expected.
Dorrance Armstrong on defense and Ben Sinnott on offense. I hope I'm wrong about that one, because it means Zach Ertz is healthy and doing what you predict him to do.
Let's go to the other side of the spectrum here, and this one's less fun for Commanders fans to hear, but these are the guys being overvalued that are getting a little too much hype going into the season.
We already discussed the name. To me, Deami Brown screams this. One more catch in his career in an extra year than Malcolm Kelly had before he was out of football entirely. I've done this dance before. I have read about how good he looks in shorts and a t-shirt. I have seen best shape of his life, hired a private chef, took ballet in the offseason. Whatever the hell it is, he is not a thing. He is a deep threat that doesn't get open deep. I just don't see it. I don't see what they see. Maybe they like his physicality, and he'll be good for blocking. Maybe he's a Josh Morgan 2.0 from 2012. But there's a reason they went and got Noah Brown. I think he'll supersede him and supplant him in some of those two receiver sets. I think it's a lot more Zacchaeus. I just don't see much production. It'll be more than his 12 catches, his gaudy 12 of last year. But it's not a thing where now we have a bona fide number two receiver internally.
So it's really, really hard to find a guy on offense other than Deami Brown, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Which speaks to the fact that there's not a lot of expectation around the board.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
I went with Jamison Crowder, and it's not like everyone says he's going to have a great year, but we talk about him as in the mix to play a lot, and I just think by the end of the year, he's going to be kind of on the outside looking in. Whether he's not on the team, or he's deactivated, or he's on the bench, or what have you, I think it'll be more Zacchaeus, more Noah Brown, more Luke McCaffrey, maybe even more Byron Pringle. If that's not good enough, if you're saying, well, there's not really a lot of expectation for him, I guess I would go with Alameda Zacchaeus, who I actually like fine, but kind of the same deal you did with Deami Brown, which is to say he caught 10 balls last year in a good offense. Maybe he gets a lot of work early, but I think as the season goes on, ideally, maybe phasing him out's too strong, but I'd like a little more Luke McCaffrey, a little more Noah Brown in the equation. How about on the defensive side of the ball?
I don't like saying this one. This I feel bad because I feel bad for the kid, but I just don't see it with Emmanuel Forbes. This is I think we've talked ourselves into like this is the perfect recipe. You got Dan Quinn, he was Legion of Boom, you see, and Joe Witt turned Ron Bland into a superstar. Trayvon Diggs before him. Emmanuel Forbes, it's going to happen for real. Nope, I just don't think so. I hope so. It would be nice. It'd be cool. But I think we've talked ourselves into this as a fan base. They're going to give him a shot. I think he's got a shot because he's a first-round draft pick who's under contract no matter what you do, and you could cut him and get rid of him, but you'd have dead cap money for multiple years, and there's not much to it, so you might as well just go out and see if he can play in a year that you're rebuilding, especially on the defensive side of the ball where you were worst in the league last year, and any improvement is good. I just don't think we've got one of these diamonds in the rough that all it took was a little bit better coaching. I don't think we got it.
So, but you get the sense there's a lot of hype for Forbes being good because he's hated on social media by the fan base.
Yeah, but I think the other side of that is this magic bullet recipe that Witt's here and so is Dan Quinn and their pedigree and they've coached secondaries and you just watch. They'll find something. I don't see it. Okay. I hope I'm wrong.
I don't love this answer, but I had a hard time coming up with a good one. So I'll say Bobby Wagner. He's 34. I mean, at some point you would think just inevitably you've got to slow down. It did not happen last year. He made 183 tackles to lead the NFL for the third time in his career. It was, by the way, a career high. Tackles are not the end-all be-all at his position, but pretty close. And he was a second-team All-Pro. He has been no worse than a second-team All-Pro every single year of his career dating back to 2013. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
From 2014 through 2023, a 10-season run, he has been either one of the top linebackers in the league or the second version, like the top two basically inside linebackers in football as voted at year's end. I don't think that'll be the case this year. I'll say it's 140-some tackles, 150 tackles, whatever, but he's not in the top two in All-Pro, falls off a little bit, and maybe because of that, a little bit of overvaluing the fact that while he'll be good, he's not going to be as great as he was last season. And that's just what happens around here. Like you sign a guy at 34, you pay him after he's been really good for 13 years, and he's starting to think about what's next in his career and following around the commissioner for a day in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, it's just not the same. The motivation isn't quite the same.
Yeah, for every London Fletcher, there's like seven Jason Taylors, you know what I mean, who are at the same spot in their excellent careers.
Let's go to Bobby in Lovettsville on G&D. What do you got, Bobby?
Hey, what do you say, boys? Great show as always.
Appreciate you, Bob.
Thank you.
So I think, yep, absolutely. So the player I think is underrated is Jamin Davis. I think that he's going to come out this year and be used in a totally different way, and I think he's going to thrive under this new defense. So I'm very excited about that. The person that I think is overrated because he's listed as a starter is Andrew Wiley. I am so tired of Andrew Wiley. I could not believe they even kept him. Someone needs to tell me he needs to face the opposite direction, like towards your end zone or, you know, that you're going towards, not the other way, like a turnstile. Okay, so those are my two boys. Keep it great.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you, dude.
Appreciate you. I would have bet against Wiley remaining as the starter at the beginning of the offseason. And then being on the team. And then when he was still on the team at the start of training camp, I would have bet against him emerging as the starter, but they just didn't really address tackle extensively. I mean, they barely are past Cornelius Lucas starting on the left side. And that's just kind of hoping and praying a bit that Brandon Coleman's ready to go, who didn't play in the preseason. So they barely replaced their left tackle. They didn't get to the right tackle yet. But my point that I've made is, if Coleman starts on the left side, kick Lucas over to right and sit Wiley. That's definitely a possibility as the year goes on.
Yeah, to me, this is another one where you go, you know, it'd be an $8 million dead cap hit. You move on from Andrew Wiley, right? So, well, he's on the roster pretty much at that point, right? So there's nothing you could do. So we'll just try to get away with it or we'll get by. We'll have a good player to his left. We'll have a tight end on that side an awful lot, you know, to run that way, whether it's a strong side, weak side or whatever. We'll make him better with play fakes. Like a right tackle is a lot better if he's got to block down onto the outside shoulder of a defensive tackle and you leave the defensive end unblocked. because that guy now has to worry about what the quarterback's going to do. You know what I mean? You leave that guy alone, so you're not taking on the superstar. You're not taking on old DeMarcus Ware from back in the day like Washington had to do in 2012. You're leaving him alone, leaving him for the quarterback to deal with it. Maybe that's the strategy. I'm trying to come up with something as to why they go, nah, that's fine at tackle. Not fine to me. I'm with the caller.
Jamin Davis's growth and his attempt now to play on the edge is the maybe the biggest story on the defensive side of the ball, but one of the biggest stories for this team this year. I think that's a fun answer. If he were to become a legitimate pass rusher who they wanted to keep around and pay moving forward, that would be a massive development and just a gigantic win for this regime. Rick Spielman has run a team. He's told some players to change positions in the past, I'm sure. The longtime former executive and NFL general manager joins us next on Grant and Danny. It is an NFL game week, finally, on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.